Welcome today. Once again, we're studying some of the greatest content anybody could even think about in the whole wide world, because it has to do with God. Wow. And how do we help people get to God, who does everything right? I think he's perfect. There's nothing wrong with him. And his intention is to set as much of his creation in line with him as possible. So we've been studying Christian counseling, and the last time we were together, this was our subject, the superiority of Christian counsel. So we wanted to know, where we were going and why learning God's way of advising people is so superior to any humanistic approach. So I don't want to repeat all that, but today I want to go on with the subject of, well, where does Christian counseling really begin? And I kind of thought it would be interesting if, instead of just jumping into it — I'm going to do that in a moment — but I thought it would be really interesting if we talk about God. Because here's what God has done. Look at this. He has created over 400,000 kinds of flowering plants. This is indeed stunning. And look at this. He's created over 60,000 kinds of trees. Do you have the ability? Can you imagine the creativity of God? How about this? Over 10,000 kinds of birds. Every one of these is simply an outlet for the glorious personality and creativity of God. 10,000 kinds of birds. And I wish we had time to look at a whole bunch of actual pictures, as these are 20 different thousand kinds of fish. And they come in every sort and size. And every one of these, can you imagine the mind of God, the creativity, the thinking that he puts into this? All these fish and what about this? 15,000 different kinds of mammals, and they come in all sorts and sizes. You probably want me to get out my head out of the way. So there you go. So you can see the rest of the picture. And so, here, every one of these animals, 15,000 kinds, distinct, with habits that are unusual in most cases. 6,000 kinds of reptiles and 6,000 kinds of reptiles in there. And golly, I mean, can you imagine? looks like some of you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. In fact, I better not do that, because he's also created 1,000 different kinds of amphibians, and they come in all kinds of strange and wonderful shapes and sizes. In fact, we understand that the whole earth is full of his glory. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the whole earth? Can you imagine the creativity? Can you imagine what God is like? Can you imagine what his brain looks like? How does he function? Well, the reason I tell you these things is very simple. When you get advice from somebody so smart, so wise, so all-knowing as God, you are getting advice that cannot be competed with. And can you imagine the created trying to compete with the creator? Well, it's foolish. And yet people will put their thoughts above the thoughts of God. So we want to plug in now, because we want to get into the subject. And here's what our subject is today. Where does Christian counseling get started? Where is the beginning of it? So imagine, before I get started, though, I want you to get this clear, that when you hand on something that you got from God, for sure, you are giving somebody the very best information humanity can ever have through its listening ear, or see through its seeing eye. Christian, godly counsel. Wow. So where does it begin? So if you're going to be a Christian counselor, and you're going to hand on the great thoughts of God. How do you get started? The truth of it is simply this. It begins in your heart. You have to have a heart for this. So let's look at the scripture. Everything, good or bad, comes out of the heart of a person. And now we're talking about the spirit. We're not talking about your flesh and blood heart, but the heart of you, the real you. Look at this. Either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit will be corrupt, for the tree is known because of its fruit, right? So Jesus comes along and he says, you generation of vipers, how can you who are evil give good counsel? How can you who are evil speak good things? Now watch this, because this is a fundamental. For look at this now. I want you to see it. Let me change the screen just slightly. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Counsel originates out of the heart. Good and evil come out of the heart. Everything good or bad proceeds from the heart. So out of the, watch this now, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why our hearts have got to be in a condition so that the counsel of God can come through us, because if we have an evil heart, then the good stuff's not going to get through. So look at the scripture. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart. I love this treasure of the heart. I mean, you get your heart loaded up with really good stuff. So a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. But an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Uh-oh. So I say unto you, and this is a stunning verse, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Why would you be judged for what you say? It's just words, isn't it? No. Why would you be judged for what you say? Because what you say is indicative, directly reflective of whatever is in your heart. So look at this now. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. By the words thou shalt be condemned. Is this fair? Absolutely, it's fair. It's right. Why? Because the words come from the heart. I hope you're getting this. It's really important. A good man, out of the good treasure his heart, brings forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, godly counsel begins in the preparation of the heart. Secondly, I want you to get is this. The unprepared heart is dangerous. And look at this scripture. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. Do you remember that scripture that says, only by pride cometh contention? If pride is in the heart, then every time we speak to somebody, we're going to be competitive. We're going to stir up aggravation, anger probably, strife. Now we become narcissists competing with other narcissists. So watch again. He that is a proud heart stirs up strife, but he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now, this is a phrase, be made fat, and I didn't want you to think it. I didn't want to use it as an excuse for overweight. It actually translated means he that puts in the trust of the Lord shall be enriched and blessed. For back in those days, fat, food was scarce, and fat was an indication of prosperity. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Uh-oh. Do you know how many times you hear somebody say, well, I was just following my heart? Some people think that that's smart, to follow your heart. I don't think so. It all depends on what's in your heart. I just followed my heart. But what if the heart was all screwed up, messed up? Then that would not be a good thing to do. So he that trusts in his own heart, that is the unprepared heart, is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Now watch here. The heart, unprepared, is deceitful above all things. It's lying. Why? Because in its natural narcissistic condition, narcissism, iniquity, the Bible word for narcissism, is selfishness. So that's why it's so deceitful, because it only wants to self-please, which is the opposite of love, right? So the heart is deceitful above all things. And look at this. It's desperately wicked because it only wants its own way. It only wants its own personal satisfaction. That's why people sin. Why do people commit adultery? Because they want to please themselves. It's the heart condition, see? All these things come out of the heart. So watch this now. The heart is deceitful. That's why it must be prepared. And in fact, the scripture says it's desperately, desperately wicked. And asks a rhetorical question. Who can know it? The answer is, it's so full of bad stuff, unprepared. So, what do we do about that? Here comes, isn't this delightful? Here comes God. And I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the steering wheel to see where it's going, the reins. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So we bring God in to search our hearts. So what happens next? God's involved now. In fact, look at the scripture. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God wants to prepare the heart in order to control the tongue. Look at this now. So it's interesting, the academic, or not the academics, but the English literary elements here, because usually when you have a compound subject, the boy and the girl are, you use the plural because of a compound subject. Now, we got a compound subject here, the preparation of the heart, and the second of the compound subject is the answer of the tongue. But look at this now. We don't use the plural. We use the singular. Why is that? Why is this? And by the way, I wish we had time to talk about how superior the King James language is. And so many people don't even understand all the literary differences that are in that. They just don't understand why they're there. For example, let me give you an example. Why does sometimes the scripture talk about you and other times the scripture calls you thee? Thee and thou. Why thee and thou? Why not you and yours? Why thine instead of yours? The answer is simple. Because some of the scriptures want to portray and were intended to portray your dignity. And so instead of talking about you, they talk about thee as a sign and an indication of your superior condition. So let's get back to this. The preparation is the heart of man, and the answer, both of these things are so synonymous, they come from the Lord, and they must be maintained. For example, keep the heart with all diligence. This is really important, because out of it are the issues of life. Whatever's inside, that's what's going to come out. And so God wants it maintained. That's why David came along. And this is what he said. I want you to see his testimony. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Don't let me go astray. Oh God, my whole heart's after thee. And so I want to stick with your commandments. Once prepared, the heart by the Lord, because remember, he's the one who prepares the heart, right? You have to keep it and maintain it in a godly condition. But let's reaffirm this one more time. It is only God that can help us prepare our hearts. The preparations of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue, and don't miss this, is from the Lord. Only God is qualified, capable. You know, mankind was not intended to rule other men because they're not qualified. That's why everybody, the head of every person, is God, Christ. Why? Because he's the only one smart enough to direct your life, and he's the only one loving enough to direct your life. So only God can prepare our hearts. Why is that? For the Lord sees not as man seeth, for man looks on outward stuff, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He sees past what everybody else looks at. And why does he do that? Let's look at the rest of this verse. To give to every man according to his ways, whose heart, O God, thou knowest. Now watch this scripture. For thou, even thou only, knows the hearts of all the children of men. He's not only smart, he's not only loving, he knows all the facts. So you should, and I should, pray just like David did about the heart. And this is how he prayed. He did, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Look at my thoughts. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And then if there is, lead me out of it. Lead me in the way that's everlasting." Because only God can help us prepare our hearts. Now, if God's going to prepare your heart, but your heart belongs to you, you're going to have to convey the access of your heart to God. And that's why this scripture is so important, and I hope you'll receive it, because it changes everything. So here's what God says. My son, give me your heart. Look at this. Interesting. He didn't say your heart. Thine heart. Again, in the King James, speaking to you with dignity. Give me thine heart. And let, look at this, not your, but let thine eyes observe my ways. So here's this wonderful being of God with esteem for you, because remember, he made you, right? You got that straight? How do you know you are important? Let me give you a couple of reasons real quick. I know it's off the subject, but it might help you. You know how important you are because God made you. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves, Psalm 100. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He not only made you, he fathered you. A man and woman got together as a baby coming, but God put you, the person, inside the baby's body. That's why the Bible calls him the father of spirits. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray, our Father, which art in heaven. How important are you? Huh. Made by God, fathered by God. You want to know something else? When he made you, he created you in the same category as himself. For example, it's hard to fellowship with a cow. I don't have anything against cows, but it's hard to fellowship with a cow because it's in the wrong category. Yeah. But when God made you, he made man in his own image, in the image of God created. He made you in the same category so you could know him and fellowship with him. So you really are important. You're important because, you know, if you could, if we had access, if we had the equipment that could technologically penetrate the mind, the brain, the mind of God, and see what's in there, Do you know what you would find inside the mind of God? You are there. And you were not just a passing thought once in a while. How marvelous are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Psalm 139. How great is the sum of them if I should count them. Are you ready? They're more in number than the sands and the seas. You're not a passing thought for God. This great, wonderful being, creator of God, has got you in his mind millions and millions of thoughts about you. Let me tell you one more reason why you're important. You've been died for. You know, we honor our servicemen. I've even put up pictures of them, and underneath I put the scripture, greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friend. But there was somebody who laid down his life for you. Yep, you guessed it, Jesus, God himself. You've been died for. That's how important you are. Well, I'm sorry I got off track a little bit. I hope that helped you, though. Preparation to give counsel to others begins by giving your whole heart to God. My son, give me thine. And this is where I got off track. The dignity in which God addresses you. Give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, watch what Jesus said to the hypocrites, fake Christians. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, watch this now, because I want to take you down a path. I want you to understand that the enemy of truth is falsity. The enemy of Christian is hypocrisy. So Jesus is saying, oh, I know what Isaiah said about you. And here's what he said. This is what Isaiah said. This people draws nigh to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips. They give me lip service. But look at this. But the heart is far from me. Watch this now. In vain do they worship me. It doesn't mean anything. Because they really teach the ideas and the commandments of the culture. You should be chasing after this. You should be buying this. You should have this. And so we're distracted from the true worship of God with all of our hearts, because our hearts have gone wandering after so many other things that the culture says we should. Look what it says now. They come unto thee as the people come. They come to church. They sit before thee as if they're my people. They even hear the sermons. They hear thy words. They don't mind hearing it. But they will not do them. Look at this now. For with their mouth, they show much love. But their heart, goeth after their covetousness. They're really sitting in church thinking about, what can I buy tomorrow? And how can I get this? And how can I do that? And how, And look at this. And lo, you, the prophet, are unto them. You, the pastor, are unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice. And you can play well on an instrument. They really love the music. They hear their words, but they do not do them. And why is that? Because the heart is not really in it. That's why the first commandment is so important. Here it is. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with half your heart. No, with all thy heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. So preparation for counsel begins with a prepared heart. And the preparation begins by making sure that our whole heart is towards God. Let me give you a wonderful assurance. It really comes from Jesus, not me. Here's what he said. Him that cometh to me, I won't in any wise cast them out. I won't reject you. So this God has great love for us. How much love? As God has said, I will dwell on them. I will walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. So come out from among them, be separate from all the fake Christian, saith the Lord, and don't touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh my goodness. Another place in Scripture, listen to what God says. I will give them a heart to know me, that I'm the Lord. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. And they shall return unto me with their whole heart. We're not ready for Christian counseling if our hearts are not ready. Our hearts have to be his. And he says, and he's saying it to you today. He's saying to you, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways, my goings. See how I see things. So, preparation continues after this whole heart part. It continues by, so after God's got your heart, the next thing he wants you to receive is his counsel. Receiving God's counsel. Listen to what he's got to say. Now that your heart is in tune, listen to what the scripture says. Hear counsel. Receive instruction that you might be wise in the latter end. Maybe you haven't been this way, but you're going to be. Hear counsel. After you get your heart, whole heart toward God, now, if we're going to become a counselor, we've got to listen to his counsel. Hear counsel, receive instruction. For there are many devices in men's hearts. Everybody's got their own ideas. Their heart fabricates all kinds of stuff. Fantasies, exaggerations, makeup, fakery. There are many devices in men's hearts. Nevertheless, now watch this, it is the counsel of the Lord. That's the good stuff. That's the stuff that shall stand. So we get our hearts right. And then preparation continues by receiving God's counsel. Now, there is no comparison between the counsel of God and the counsel of a person, humanism. Even though history is full of guys who supposedly have invented psychology, and they have got their systems from Skinner and Freud and Maurer and so on. But watch this. It doesn't compare with the counsel of God. They may address some symptoms, but they're not going to get to the real issue. Because the Lord brings the counsel of the heathen, even though they got PhDs behind their name. He brings the counsel of the heathen to zero, to naught. There is no comparison. He maketh the devices of the people of, they just don't work. You know, just observe how many medical buildings we're building, how many psychiatries and psychologies and doctors we have and all. And the more we have, the sicker we get. I mean, we've got mental absurdities going on. We have people by masses who are into various modes of self-destruction. Whether it's, you know, it's not just the rope to hang or the knife to cut or the gun to shoot. I mean, we self-destruction is more one pill at a time, one drink at a time, one. I mean, everybody is, and it's described in the Bible as people who oppose themselves. Now they go to the psychologist. You think he's going to know how to fix it? He's going to try and help you get along with it. In fact, he's going to offer a chemical cure for a spiritual problem. Do you really think that will work? Really? Really? I don't think so. So, actually, I'm sad about this. I think these people are probably well-meaning. I'm not decrying them. I'm just saying that the counsel of God is what stands. So the PTSD, the soldier, had to kill. Not nice. I wrote a whole book about it. It's Time to Kill, Time to Heal. For soldiers. Because you have to shoot somebody on the field of battle. He's dead. Now you search his body and you pull out a picture of his wife and a picture of his little children. And that soldier has to live with that the rest of his life. And I tell you, there's no psychologist capable, no couch comfortable enough in a psychiatrist's office, no chemical that can erase that. But the counsel of God can. Because Jesus is the only one that when you come to him properly, listen to it, old things pass away, all things become new. No psychologist can do that. No rationalization, regression, sublimation, reaction, formation, all the psychological methods of dealing with the stuff of life are vain. Because it is the Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to zero. He makes the devices of people of none effect. It is the counsel of the Lord that standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. What he advised 100 years ago is advice today. If what he told 1,000 years ago works today, it goes to all generations. Preparation continues by receiving the counsel that comes from God. That's what we want to hand on. Get our hearts right. Then get filled with the counsel of God. And when you get the counsel of God, it's not enough to have it for 10 minutes or an hour or a month. You have to keep it. You have to keep the counsel of God. And that's why the scripture says, my son, attend to my words. Attend. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart out of thine eyes. Keep them in front of them. Keep them in the midst of thine. Look at this. Oh, I love this thine thing, this dignity that God speaks to you with. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues. In the book of Revelation, there's an interesting passage. I want to bring it to you in closing. And here's what God says. He says, I know thy works. I know you're, 'cause these are good people. I know you're working that stuff. And I know you, how you're patient. And I know how you don't like those that are evil. You've even tried those fake Christians and found them to be liars. And you have borne, you have patience. And for my name's sake, you kept trying. But nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because Watch it now. You've left the first love. What's that? That loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. You left that. You still do the mechanics, but you left the heart, the love thing out of your heart. So remember from whence you were fallen. Now here's what to do if you have lost your first love. You have lost your first love. Three steps. Remember what you've fallen from. Number two, repent. Three, do what you used to do. Get back to that first love, loving God with all your heart. The heart is where preparation for counsel begins. It's a loving heart versus a selfish heart. It's a believing heart versus an unbelieving heart. It's a perfect heart versus a whorish heart. It's a contrite heart versus a hard heart. It's a large heart versus a lean heart. Let me just get out of the way so you can see it. It's a pure heart versus a wicked heart. It's a wise and understanding heart versus a foolish heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. It's a tender heart versus a hard heart. It's a merry heart versus a discouraged heart. It's a believing heart versus a doubtful heart. It's a forgiving heart versus a bitter heart. So let me conclude with a challenge to you. Are you all in? Is your heart after God all the way? Because if you want to be a Christian counselor, and I hope you do, because God through you wants to bring life-saving power to other people's lives by giving, by being the conveyor of his counsel. But it takes a prepared heart. And we're going to learn some more of the steps, but we start here today with a challenge. Since Christian counsel begins with a prepared heart, are you all in? Do you have a heart after God?
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.